people in the past 5 days has either emailed me, texted me, or personally mentioned to me this verse that I'm going to preach out of this morning. And it's not a coincidence that the Lord gives us things at the perfect time in our life that we need them. And I've learned from 13 years almost that I've been saved that, you know what, if a lot of times our flesh wants to react quickly, I've often said this to some of you, wait before you say something, cool down, because you know what, we'll often say the wrong thing. We'll often say things that we'll later regret and people may hold over you for the rest of your life. But I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about Joseph. Tonight I'll stand here and actually preach a little bit or teach on Joseph and his life. And outside of the Lord Jesus, I love to read more about Joseph than anybody else in the Bible. And his story is amazing. What a great man he was. We're going to talk a little bit about him this morning. But I want to read one verse and to you this morning, Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter number 50 and verse 20. And this verse is always, I did a study in Sunday school on Joseph about 5 years ago. And it took us about a year to go through it. And I've always loved this scripture. Because it is so true in our lives today. And if we can just grasp a hold of it, and you know what, if we can just let it apply to our life or apply it to our life, then I can promise you one thing, that you know what, the things that we battle will be a whole lot easier for us to get through. And but the Bible says in Genesis 50 and 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Let us pray this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for, Lord, one more opportunity, God, that we may come in and read your word, Father. God, I pray that you'd help me this morning, Lord, that I might help somebody that's here, Lord. And God, I thank you, Lord, for helping me this week, Lord. And God, just taking some anger and some bitterness out of my heart, Father. And God, that you've just helped me. And Lord, this morning, I just want to praise you, Lord, that I can draw strength from your word, Father. God, I can draw strength from my fellow brothers and sisters, Father. And God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd help us. Let me say nothing that you'd have me to, Lord. God, that you wouldn't have me to, but let me say all that you would, Father. Nothing more, nothing less. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we want to look at Joseph's life this morning. I've got five things that I want to bring out this morning about Joseph. And it starts out in Genesis 37 and it goes all the way through Genesis 50. And there's 13 chapters here that you know what, that deals with this time frame of Joseph's life. And it starts out as a boy, and of course it ends up there as him dying and them, him asking that they take his bones and bury them in a certain place. And it's just kind of like our life. It's a picture. We're born one day and then one day we're going to die. This body is going to go back to the earth. And in between that time that we're born and that time that of death, that's our lifespan. And I believe that when I was born, I began a journey, absolutely. But when I got born again, I began a new journey. Something that, building on a foundation that the Bible says on that rock, you know what, that firm foundation. And for 13 years, I began a new building, a new process. The Bible speaks of the old man is gone and the new man has come on the scene. But in Joseph's life, listen, Joseph went through some hard times. Joseph went through, I mean, he's, boy, and when we get finished with this, you're going to look back and say, wow, after all he's went through, look how it turned out. Look how he kept himself, how he composed himself. But the Bible starts out in Genesis 37. We go through in verse 2 and it says, now these are the generations of Jacob, and Joseph being 17 years old was feeding the flock with his brethren, and his lad was with his sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. And now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now in Sunday school and probably in our Bible lessons here at school, we've heard about this coat. We know the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And verse 5 here begins, it says that Joseph dreamed a dream. Now, I don't have time to read all the scripture this morning, but I kind of want to lay out to you just a little bit of what's going on. Joseph here, the Bible says, being 17 years old, a young boy. And he began to dream dreams, and he shared those dreams with his brethren and his father, and his brothers, they didn't like it. And what we'll see is in Joseph's life, because of jealousy of his brothers, and the Bible says in verse 4 that they hated him, and they actually hated him. And because of that, though, we see that they are inspired to kill him. They hated him so much, and a lot of it was jealousy because of him and what he did in his life, and some of it, I'm sure, was because their father made Joseph a coat, and maybe not, the Bible doesn't say that they made him one, but they hated Joseph. They had jealousy in their heart against their own brother. So often in our lives, listen, we'll have people that come against us, they'll be jealous in their heart. Hey, they can't stand what's going on in your life, in your testimony, how you're pleasing the Lord and what you're doing. And you know what? All of a sudden, your brothers and sisters in Christ may come against you. You know what? It's in these times that we can't give up. It's in these times that we don't need to beat them up, beat them down. Although, you know what? Sometimes that's what we want to do. But you know what? It's in those times that we need to show Christ in us more than any other time. And yes, we can be good, and you know what? We can go along the flow and act happy, but inside sometimes our hearts, you know what? We get bitter, we get angry. But you know what? It's in those times where the Lord can help us the most. And I want to say, number one, I want to look at the fact that Joseph was sold into slavery. As we continue to read over in verse number 28, the Bible says, "And there passed by Midianites and merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt." Now, in between this time, it's verse 4 when they said that they hated him, and he dreamed dreams, and he went and he told them. And then his father asked him, said, "Joseph," said, "I want you to go check on your brethren." And Joseph goes on a journey there, and he goes to check on them. They're supposed to be in a certain field. And when he got there, the Bible says that he was wandering in that field. His brothers had passed on. They had gone to a new field. But he was wandering there, doing exactly what his father had told him. And then they saw him. And when they saw him, they came to the conclusion that, you know what? Hey, let's kill him. Let's just kill him. And then we see that not only did, as they began to talk about killing him, and Reuben, I believe it was Reuben, one of his brothers says, "Well, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him down in the pit and leave him. Basically, let him starve to death, let him die here in the pit or whatever, but you know what? Let's don't kill him, but let's just leave him for dead." Now, I can only imagine, I've pictured this many times, and I've often said this in my life. I believe if my brothers were about to throw me in a pit, one of them was going to go in there with me. But you know what? They left him there, and the Bible speaks that there was no water in what we consider probably today as a well. They threw him down in that pit, that hole, that well, so that he couldn't get out. And to leave him. Now, I want you to think about this. He's sold into slavery. And what has Joseph done to be sold into slavery? He's done nothing, the Bible speaks of here. Nothing whatsoever, you know what, to be left in this condition. He's here because, you know what, he's done exactly what his father has told him. And you know what I've learned? That sometimes when we're doing exactly what the Lord, our Heavenly Father, is telling us, you know what? Sometimes things doesn't always go our way. But you know what, if we're doing what he's told us to do, then guess what? Everything's going to be all right. And you know what, that goes for our earthly fathers also. You know, so I didn't ever want to always do what my dad told me to do. I remember one particular time, and my dad was working on the porch, and I was about 12 or 13, that age to where everybody likes to talk back. And my father told me one time, he said, "Son, run down to the barn and get me a hammer." And I said, "Daddy, I don't want to." And my daddy looked at me with that look, and I knew then that I should just go get that hammer. He said, "I told you to go get that hammer, son." And I said, "Daddy, I don't have to do what you tell me to all the time." And then I saw the look in his eyes, and I said, "Do I?" And I tried to get out of it. Before I knew it, one arm was up in the air, and my butt was on fire. And I mean, he got a hold of me and he said, "Now, what did I tell you to do?" And I said, "Daddy, which way, where is that hammer? I'll go get it." And I went to get it. But you know what? There's been times in my life and I hadn't done what my earthly fathers told me to do. And you know what? I've suffered the consequence. There's been times in my life where I haven't done what my heavenly fathers told me to do. And guess what? I've suffered the consequences for that too. But here we see this man, Joseph, he's done nothing wrong. Not a thing. And you know what? Here his brothers want to kill him, and then they decide just to leave him in the pit. And we see that he's sold into slavery. And then we see that the Ishmaelites took him down into Egypt. And when he got to Egypt there, we know the story, and like I said, I don't have time to read it, but in chapter number 39, we see that Joseph there is sold unto Potiphar. And we've read the story there in Genesis 39, 1 and 2. The Bible says this, and it says, "And Joseph were brought down into Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and the Egyptian brought him to the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in the sight and served him, and he made him the overseer of his house and all that he had put into his hand." So we see Joseph here. He's done nothing wrong. He's thrown into a pit. He's lifted out of that pit. He's sold into slavery. He goes into Egypt there and he's sold unto Potiphar. And the Bible says this, that Joseph found grace in his eyes, in Potiphar's eyes. But I love what it says in verse number 2. It says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." The Lord was with Joseph. Now think about that. I love reading about Samuel also, and you'll read the same phrase when the Lord's talking about Samuel, and the Lord was with Samuel. And in one spot it says, "And he let none of his words fall to the ground." That means he used Samuel as a little boy. And here we see Joseph as a young man again. But he's sold now unto Potiphar. And I can just think about that yourself. If maybe we were just handed off and passed around. And that can't be good. And I've heard people sit in my office and that's been through this same situation. They bounce around from family to family and you're not knowing what's going on and not knowing where the next night you may lay your head. But the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph. Can I say this? No matter what we go through in our lives, no matter where our life takes us to the decisions that we make, you know what? If we make good, godly decisions, you know what? The Lord's going to be there to help us too. And we may not always get what we want. We're going to make mistakes. None of us are perfect. But you know what? It would be nice if the Lord could say that about us, and the Lord was with us. And we see here that Joseph, being sold into Egypt, actually was in a better position now in Egypt than he was back in Canaan with his own family. He was in a better position. Now think about the verse that I started out with. Now in Genesis 50 and 20, it said what? What does it say? It said, now one thing it said, "You meant it evil unto me, against me, but God meant it for good." See, we try to figure things out sometimes in our life, in our minds, and we try to put the pieces of the puzzle together, but yet sometimes the Lord wants us to yield to Him so that He can put the puzzle together. Maybe we want to put a piece in here, and you know what? The Lord don't want that piece in yet. But we see here that now Joseph's better off in Egypt, in Potiphar's house here, than he was in Canaan, hated by his own family. He's better here in Egypt. The Bible says that he found grace in the sight of Potiphar. Potiphar made him allowed him to be over everything there. He was under Potiphar only. And he began to serve there under Potiphar. And you know what? As he began to serve, the Bible said the Lord was with him. You know, great things were happening in Potiphar's house. And I can say this, the Lord had showed me this morning on the way to school, that you know what? When things are going good and you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do, when you're right smack dab in the will of God, you're doing what you're supposed to do, you know what? That's when a lot of times people are going to come against us. That's when sometimes people are going to come against you. Listen, here we see in Joseph's life, he's right where he's supposed to be. God's blessing, God's honoring him there in Potiphar's house. And all of a sudden, we see Potiphar's wife come into the picture. And Potiphar's wife, she was a lady that was of a wicked heart. we see that if we read on that Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph and wanted to be with Joseph. And Joseph said this many times, no, I'm not going to do it. He resisted. Now think about this. As a young boy, Joseph resisted the temptation of fornication. He said, no, how can I do this? And he said, how can I do this thing not only for against Potiphar, but against mostly my God? How can I do this thing? And day after day, the Bible says that Potiphar's wife desired to have him more and more and more. And one day that she confronted him and she said, I need you. And he ran out, the Bible says, screaming, and he left his coat of many colors behind. And then she got jealous, just like many others, just like his brothers. Hey, Joseph's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. You know what? Hey, in his spirit, guess what? He knew what was right. He knew what was wrong. Hey, he was making good decisions. And all of a sudden, we see this woman come in the picture trying to destroy his life, trying him to do something that he knew that he should not do. And he ran out and he left his coat. And her being jealous of him doing what he's supposed to do in his life, him living for God, you know what? She accused him of trying to rape her, basically. He accused her of misconduct there, and he'd done nothing wrong once again. Joseph had done nothing wrong. And guess what? When Potiphar found out about it, Potiphar sent him to prison. Now think about this man now. Think about if you were Joseph here. Okay, I've done nothing wrong. I'm doing what my father told me. My brothers hate me. They throw me in a well. I'm sold unto slavery. And yet here I meet this man Potiphar, sold unto him, and I found grace in his sight, and I served him, and he made me overseer. The Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 39 of everything there, or of his house and all that he had put into his hand. And yet I'm falsely accused now of something. And at this point, what am I going to do? I'm just doing right, and yet I'm being punished. I wonder if that's what he thought. Oftentimes I wonder, Lord, why are we going through what we go through when we know we're trying to do it, and the Lord knows our heart, we're trying to do what's right. But you know what? I've learned this, that every trial that I've been through, every time that I've been hurt, everything that we made it through, Brother Michael, you know what? It's made me stronger on the inside. You know what? Sometimes the Lord may allow you to go through certain valleys, certain trials, tribulations. You know what? To strengthen your own self. That maybe later on in life, you'll go through something even greater. Maybe it's your best friend. It's somebody in your family. It's somebody that we love. That, you know what? Going through what we've been through, and that we can help them. Once again, Joseph has done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Nothing. He's just done what he's supposed to do. He loved God. How could I sin against God? Well, that should be the thing that we ask ourselves. How can we sin against God? How can we do this thing that will displease our Lord? How can we do that? Let's just do right. I've often said, hey, it's never wrong to do right. And it's never right to do wrong. Joseph here, he lived by that principle here. He'd done nothing wrong. But yet now he finds himself in prison. Hey, in Canaan with his father there, his brothers hated him. And as he got down to Potiphar's house, he was better there in Egypt at a time for a period. And he was over everything in Potiphar's house except Potiphar. And now he finds himself in prison. My goodness, what a horrible story, you say. Well, that's what it seems like. But the Bible says there that when he was thrown there into prison, in chapter number 39, as we continue to read there, he's thrown into prison. Verse 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Verse 21 said this, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Oh my goodness. So now we see here again Joseph. He's thrown in prison. I'm wondering what he's thinking, but you know what? Again, the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph. Wow. Wow. Think about that. Really, I mean, I want you to grab the concept this morning. Joseph's done nothing wrong yet under this point, and yet he's been time after time, he's thrown in a pit, he's sold into slavery, and now he's thrown into prison, and yet he has not done anything wrong. I wonder how many of us ever felt that way, that you know what, time after time after time, punch after punch after punch, fight after fight after fight, battle after battle, valley after valley, mountaintop after mountaintop, do we often say, good gracious, why again, Lord? Why are we here in this situation? But the Bible said that the Lord was with Joseph. He was with him even in the prison. And then we see that now he's better off in prison. He was better in Egypt for a time, and now listen, well, he's better off in prison than being under Potiphar there, being accused of having an affair with his wife. Listen, he's better off now in prison. Why? Because the Bible says that the Lord was with him and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 22 says, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. I mean, he was in charge of the whole prison. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And basically here, the one that was over the prison, the keeper here, now he said, Joseph, he put him over, he said, you're over everybody. And there he said, the last verse there in verse 23, he said, I'm not worrying about anything at all down here in this prison, because everything that you do, the Lord is with you and it prospers. Now we see Joseph better off in prison. Better off in prison. You say, man, how can somebody be better off in prison? You know what? At this point in Joseph's life, guess what? That's where he's better off. He's better off in prison than he's back there suffering the persecution of his brethren in Canaan, suffering the persecution of Potiphar in Egypt there in Potiphar's house. But now the Bible says that Joseph is better off in prison. Listen, that's hard to say, ain't it? Boy, I mean, I couldn't even imagine. We go into the jail sometime and we get to preach, and man, you go through there and you walk hall to hall after hall, and those bars slam behind you, and man, you get in there, and man, the first couple of times, I was like, I didn't really like it. I didn't like going in there. But you know what? Hey, when you get in prison, I mean, that's where you know, some people get in and never get out. Joseph had no idea what laid ahead of him. Didn't have any idea how long he would be in prison. Had no idea whatsoever. But you know what? The Bible says that the Lord was with him. And let me say this one thing about Joseph too. No matter where he went, guess what? He didn't give up and sit down on God. He kept working. He kept working. And he kept working. You know what? In our lives, when we get down and out and hurting God, we just got to keep working. We got to keep fighting. We got to keep walking. We got to keep going. We got to keep doing whatever it is the Lord wants us to do. And you know what? Sooner or later, you know what? God will honor that. Number three, Joseph was better in prison. Let me say, number four, that Joseph fought against his family. His own brother and his own family sinned against him. Joseph's own family sinned against him. And boy, how I often said, or I said just a few minutes ago, I think somehow, one way or another, I think I'd have got one of my brothers took one of them with me. They was going to throw me down in a well. But you know what? They threw him down in a well. They hated him. Chapter 37, verse 4 says that they hated him. That word hatred there, that means with a passion. I mean, they absolutely could not stand it if he even lived or died. And they even conspired there in verse 18 to kill him. I mean, they were ready just to kill him and leave him, and you know what, and just tell their father Jacob that, hey, he got, and what they end up doing once they realize that he was sold out of that pit, taken up and sold, they took that coat of many colors and they ripped it all to pieces. And the Bible says that they killed a kid goat, and with the blood of that goat, they put all over his jacket. And they took it back to Jacob, their father, and they lied to him, and they said, you know what? Hey, Joseph was marred, and he was killed by this animal. The Bible said Jacob, his father's heart fainted. Boy, he loved Joseph, and he couldn't stand the thought that Joseph, his youngest son, was now dead. They lied. Not only did they sin against Joseph, but against Jacob also. Man, sometimes, you know what, I've often said this, the people that hurt us the most are the people that we love the most. I've seen that in my life. The people that's hurt me the most, hey, they've been people that love me the most and I love the most. Sometimes it's my own family. Hey, it's been my brothers. Hey, it's been my sister. It's been my cousins. Hey, it's been those that I love the most that have actually hurt me the most. They hated Joseph. They hated him. They just wanted to kill him. And you know what? in all through this, we see nothing negative in the scriptures that Joseph said or did. Time after time, being accused and being falsely accused, time after time, you know what? He just went about doing what he's supposed to do. And then let me say this, that here we get to the ending verse, our text verse that we started with. We see that Joseph was compassionate toward his brethren. He was compassionate toward his brethren. And I want to read a few scriptures over here in chapter number 50. And this is where we get our theme verse from this morning. And I want to go back one more time, though, and just rehash. And Miss Melissa, if you want to come on to the piano, we'll finish up this morning. Joseph here, hey, born to Jacob. Boy, he lived a good life. At 17 years old, he was well pleased, pleasing his father. His father asked him to go and check on his brethren, and he obeyed his father. He was right where he was supposed to be. He was right there where he's supposed to be, and his brothers conspired to kill him and left him in that pit, and he was sold unto slavery. He went to Potiphar's house. He found grace. The Bible said the Lord was with him. He found grace in the sight of the Potiphar, and Potiphar put him in charge of his own household, and his wife, Potiphar's wife, falsely accused Joseph, and Joseph was thrown into prison. But yet, while he was in prison, the Bible says that the Lord was with him. And he just kept on doing what he was supposed to do. And the keeper there of the prison put him over all the prison. And once again, God honored Joseph and his work that he was doing. He honored that. And the Bible says later on that there was a butler and a baker that was thrown into prison also. And Joseph here, we began out this morning as Joseph told him a dream that he had dreamed. And Joseph could interpret dreams. God allowed Joseph to interpret the dreams of that baker and the cupbearer. And Joseph told him that one would die, and in 3 days one would die, and that one would be restored back into the fellowship or his former place and under the king there. And the Bible says that when 3 days had come to pass, that's what had happened. And Joseph had asked him, said, look, and when you get out of here, can you just please mention to Pharaoh, that I interpreted your dream and I helped you and I'm here? And he said, sure, I will. Long story short, when that guy got out, you know what? He was restored back to his cupbearer. You know what? But yet he said nothing about Joseph. Joseph again was forgotten. He was forsaken. He was lied to again. He helped someone out, and guess what they did? They stabbed him in the back. They didn't tell anything about it. Then later on, Pharaoh began to have dreams, and he brought, the Bible says, his magicians and all of them together to try to interpret the dream, and they couldn't. And then all of a sudden, he remembered. He said, there was this man in prison that interpreted my dream, and his name is Joseph. And Pharaoh sent for him. And Pharaoh asked Joseph, here's my dream. And Joseph interpreted his dream. And in short, the Bible says that Joseph told him that there would be 7 years of plenteous, of great crop. There'd be 7 years that he would be able to, there were going to be more crop in Egypt than they can hardly stand. And then after that, there would be 7 years of famine. Meaning there would be nothing that grew. There would be no food anywhere. And he told that dream unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, well, then we should put somebody in charge of this. And here again we see that Pharaoh puts Joseph in charge of all of Egypt. Bible says that he gave him a ring. He said, only in the throne shall I be greater than thee. Now you think about the roller coaster ride that Joseph's been on time after time after time. And now we get to he's over all of Egypt. He's over all of Egypt. And for 7 years, as there were plenteous crops, the Bible says that Joseph, they stockpiled corn. And they stockpiled it and they put it up in barns. And they put it up so that when the 7 years of famine come, there would be food for them. And when that 7 years of famine come, Jacob sent his sons down unto Egypt to buy corn. Now they don't know where Joseph is. They hadn't seen him in years. I think the Bible says over there when he's in charge of Egypt, I think he's 30 years old at that time when he's in charge in Egypt. And so 13 years has passed by. They hadn't seen him. Man, you think probably couldn't even, and we'll see in just a minute, they didn't even notice Joseph. They didn't know who Joseph was. But his brothers came into Egypt to buy corn. And Joseph knew who they were, but they knew him not. And later on, we see that Joseph revealed himself to them, and he told them that, hey, I'm Joseph, your brother, which you sold into slavery. I'm your brother, which you left for dead, which you hated, which you despised. He said, I'm your brother. And he said, I want to see my father. And he sent, and then long story short, Jacob was told that, hey, your son still lives. And Jacob was brought there, and what a great reunion they had. That family reunited, a family makeup, I guess, as you could say, as they united there together. Now, Joseph over all of Egypt. Remember, Joseph was the younger, but yet now he's over all of Egypt. And his brothers are coming begging for him. And going back to that dream in chapter 37 and verse 4 and 5 down there, it said, and he had a dream that his younger brothers and that his dad, that their sheaves fell down or yielded to his sheaf. And you know what? Now all of a sudden that dream that he dreamed has come true as they stand before him begging for food. And Joseph had every right in the world to have them killed if he wanted to. And the Bible says there that Jacob died, finally that Jacob's eyes grew dim and that he died. And when Jacob's father died, his brothers began to, again, they said, oh my goodness, now that our father's dead, surely Jacob will kill us. Surely that he's gonna hurt us. But in verse 50, the Bible says, but as for you, this is what Joseph told him. As they come to him and they were begging for their life, basically, Joseph said this. He said, for you, brethren, my brethren, for you, y'all meant it for evil against me. And they did. But he said here, but God meant it for good. And can I say sometimes that is so hard to swallow. That's so hard to swallow. But you know what? Yes, you may be hurt. Yes, you may be attacked. You may be feel like that you're damaged, that you know what, that you just can't go on. But you know what? God allowed everything to happen in our lives that happened. He does allow that. But he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Listen, though, to bring to pass, that means that one day what happened has happened, because one day to bring to pass, as it is this day, he said, for this very day, this is why it happened, to save much people alive. And you know what? Through Joseph and through his obedience and through his roller coaster life of ups and downs, of being falsely accused, of being in charge of all of Egypt, you know what? God allowed that to happen so that, you know what? Joseph and his family and that lineage could continue on. And later on down life, we see the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. But everything happened the way it happened for a reason, that Joseph could be there in charge of all of Egypt. And the Bible says there that Pharaoh allowed, he blessed Jacob and his family, give them land and gave them basically whatever they wanted for Joseph's sake. I've often read that verse 50 and 20, and I know it by heart. When I first did this study several years ago, I just loved that scripture, and I've always one that I've been able to memorize. But last night as I was laying there and I was about to go to bed, I shared with Anita. I was sitting there at our computer desk and I was reading this and reading over the lesson. And I said, I never noticed verse 19. And this has really helped me out. This really what helped me more than anything, I think. Bible says in verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not. This is the phrase I want you to, he said, fear not, for I'm in the place of God. He said, fear not, for I am in the place of God. And what he was saying was this. He said, I am right where God wants me to be. I've been where God's wanted me to be. And now I'm at this right time in life, at this moment, in the right place, in the will of God, right where He wants me, but yet you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You know what? Hey, when we're where we're supposed to be, we're doing what we're supposed to do, there are going to be people that come against us. When you live for Christ the way you should live for Christ, it's going to make others jealous, and they're going to come against you. They're not going to like you. Your testimony, your walk, your light that shines will make other people jealous. And you know what? It's in those times that we got to realize, you know what? Hey, God means it for good. Why? To the saving of such people. Maybe it's our home. Maybe it's your household. Maybe it's my household. But God allowed those things to happen. He said, I am in the place of God. I am in the place of God. You know what? There's no greater place for you to be than be in the place, in the perfect, I mean the center of God's will. And when that happened, the Bible says, those who live righteously, what? Shall suffer persecution. That means if we do what we're supposed to do, that we will suffer persecution. In those times, when they have come, and when they do come in my life, I sure hope that I can say this. You know what? They may mean it for evil, but God means it for good. God means it for good. You know what? Many of you sat in my office, and man, I've shared my heart with some of you, the things that where people has hurt me, and man, I've needed help from some of you, and I've seek counsel from some of you. And I've sat in my office for 5 years, and I've heard one after another come in and tell story after story about how somebody has hurt them and how something's going wrong in their life and how they just seem like there's no hope. And they wonder why, Brother Greg, and they ask me, why does this happen? Why has this happened in my life? The only thing I can tell you is this, that maybe it's because somebody may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And maybe, you know what? Hey, you know what? You're right where you're supposed to be, and yet people is attacking you. You know what? That doesn't give us the right to go throw a stone back. It does not give us the right to attack somebody else, even when our flesh feels like, you know what? That's the right thing to do. And oh, how this morning, how I had to beg God, oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, of the anger and the bitterness I've had in my heart the last few days. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. And all of a sudden, such a sweet, sweet spirit come about. And that burden that I've been carrying, hey, was lifted. And he said, you're in the right place where I want you. You know what? Having said that, I really don't care what anybody thinks about me. I really don't care what anybody thinks about our church. I don't care what anybody thinks about our school. I don't care what anybody thinks about y'all. I love you. You know what? Regardless of what we go through, bless God, we're going to go through it together. And as we go through it, we're going to help each other. You know why? The Bible says to save such people. Literally, through Joseph, Israel was saved. Israel began, as the Bible said, through Joseph, Israel was saved. And you know what? Through our personal walk, our testimony, you know what? Because we're doing what we're supposed to do, you know what? Many may come to know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know what? Every day I get up, I don't feel like getting up and coming to school or going to church. Sometimes I don't feel like doing anything. I feel like just laying around. And you know what? The more we do that, the more we're going to want to do that. Joseph had every right to be down and out and discouraged and just give up and say, where is this God that my father's taught me about? Where is he? But no, he did not do that. He continued on doing what he was supposed to do. And the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. Hey, he was with him in that pit. Hey, he was with him when he was in Potiphar's house, and he was with him in the prison. And you know what? He was with him there at the end. He hadn't went anywhere. He hadn't forsaken him. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Never, ever, never will he do that. I felt at times as if he has. But you know what? That's because of me, not because of him. And he's always been there with us. I wonder this morning what you are facing in your life today. I wonder what you've been going through the last few days. I wonder what's on the horizon for you the next few days. I wonder how many woke up this morning and feeling the way I have the last few days. I just, man, just don't know what to do, what to say, but just know that something's not right. I wonder how many feels discouraged this morning, down and out. I wonder how many of you in here this morning feel like, you know what, it's just not worth it. I'm trying to live right. I am doing right. I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do, but yet it seems like I face battle after battle. I wonder how many of you here this morning, truly, 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 the Lord knows your heart, but you're ready to just give up. And you're tired of the battle. And you're tired of the battle. Let me say, don't give up. You may feel like you're living in a prison. Don't give up. You may feel like nobody loves you. Don't give up. You may feel like, you know what? I just get up and I try to do what I'm supposed to do. And you know what? Nothing goes right. Don't give up this morning. Do not give up. Joseph said, I'm in the place of God. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And without him going through everything that he went through, he would not be in that position in Egypt over all the land of Egypt. God allowed things to happen in his life to put him in that place so that he could be used. So he could be used greatly in a time of need. Hey, you may be facing things in your life today. You know what? That's going to help you 5 or 6, 10 years from now. Maybe when you have your own family and you have to start making those tough decisions. You know what? It may be that you think back that, you know what, man, I lived through something I didn't like living through. I lived through a time in my life where it was hard. But you know what? Through it all, now I see from God's point of view, I see that it was for good for him. I love the song page you sing sometimes. You hadn't sang in a while, but from God's point of view. I remember a long time ago, I remember when I was going through things with Joe those first few times of surgery. Remember singing that song, how we see things different if we could see them from God's point of view than we see them through our own eyes. This morning I'm asking you, listen, do not give up. Hang on to any and every little bit of faith that you have left and know this, that God has not forsaken you. And I promise you this, if you will do that, you'll begin to see those clouds disappear. You'll begin to see that sun shine again. You'll begin to see the blessings in your life that God will give you. Don't give up this morning. Don't give up. Don't give up. As we all stand together, Miss Melissa begins to play. Listen, these altars open. You need to come this morning. Hey, you got something?